KX, N4ZLK Mobile.
You can't be here alone. We're heading over to Little Ripple to get some mass consumables in 0TR.
And I'm assuming hello, Bernice. Yeah, today would be a good day to go get some, I guess. Probably not as busy as the weekend.
She just had a nuclear stress test. And she didn't feel like doing supper, so we're going to go over here and have somebody else do it, by golly. How's your day today, Shane?
Far, we kept two of the granddaughters overnight, and we took them up 276 a little bit, up to Bald Rock, which is a little overview. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but you can see Greenville and Paris Mountain and Table Rock and all, you know, all over Easley and Pickens. You can't really pick out anything other than Paris Mountain and Table Rock because of, you know, it's pretty far view. Then we got some ice cream, and then they're home now. They're going to take a nap, but I'm going to run into work and help do some extra work for a few hours.
Good. It sounds like it's a great place to go. Before they fenced it off, we got to go up there on Paris Mountain to where the transmitters are at. And I took some pictures up there years ago of Greenville down below. And that was enjoyable. But all the crumbs would go up there and paint graffiti and mess up everything, so they fenced it all off and ruined it for everybody.
There when I was a teenager, by myself, and or with a group of friends, and we'd hang out on the overlook there. They used to hang glide off of the side there back before there were any houses or anything. But that was a long time ago.
I never hang glide before, but I've been in the paragliders several times, and I just loved it. They had their ups and downs, put it that way. I had a couple of little incidents in them, but nothing too serious. I'll tell you about that some other time. We've arrived over here at the Rebel, so I'll catch you later, Shane. Have a safe day, and Bernice seems to be doing fine after all the injections and the nuclear medicine and the EKGs and yada, yada, yada. Nothing seems to bother her too much. See you later, Zane. N4ZLK and 0TR73.
Emil, you and Bernice enjoy it, and I hope all the results come back positive. And that nuclear stress test is no fun. I had one of those. Worst part was just climbing on the treadmill. But that, I didn't realize they were going to inject that stuff in me. They didn't tell me that's what it was going to be till I got there, and I wasn't too happy about that. But anyway, enjoy your meal. We'll talk to you later. N4ZFK.
Shane, this is in lieu of walking on the treadmill. I had that done years ago one time, and I lasted 40 seconds. And I had an event, they said. But this one is to determine whether or not she can have her hip surgery, so we hope it comes out all right. But they inject medicine to race your heart, and then they give you an antidote, and then they take you into this donut machine and do scans on you two different times. And so it took 4 hours before she got out of there. Just thought I'd explain that, Shane. Take care. N4ZLK and 0TR clip.
That was the one without the treadmill. I see now. All right. Well, I hope it turns out well, and I hope she can have her hip replacement. Talk to you later, Tom. N4ZLK, mobile.
I'm Miss Bernice, KO4HX. Hello, Shane.
73, Patrick.
Patrick, how are you?
Good. Got to run up here to Nashville Airport and pick up a cart, so I'm on my way up that way.
That picture, I don't know if you saw my text or not, but that tractor looked too clean.
That picture right there on White Horse Road with a new red light set, and he followed me off of 123.
Him then, the guy running my route today, maybe they washed it over on Friday. Maybe the guy washed it Friday night, because it was a lot dirtier. That Friday, it was dirty. I told him he needed to wash it if he's going to take it down at nighttime to keep my tractor clean.
It looked pretty new, I know you said they've been having a lot of problems. So, I don't know. It looked awful new. It wasn't the original Mack you're driving.
Oh, that's a Mack. I thought it was the Freightliner. Okay. Yeah, we do have one new Mack, even though it's probably new, as in it's less than a year old, and it's already been back to the dealership like three times. So, who knows?
Definitely want to keep it close to the building.
Out to Greensboro at nighttime. And it's broken down on the way up there, it's broken down up there, and it's broken down on the way back down. So, I don't know what the issues are with them.
I'll guess and put it as emissions related.
What the issue is. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if you heard, but I'm off today, but I'm actually, my boss called me and asked me if I could come in and run some pickups tonight for somebody who, I guess he called in.
Say that, I just got back in the truck. I was getting fuel while you and Tom were talking.
Intern Valley over, they spent the night. We took them up to Bald Rock there on 276. And I'll tell you what, there were areas where you could tell there was a lot of damage from trees where they had cut them away from the road in several places, but it was clear. There's a sign saying Caesar's Head is closed, so I guess the park is closed, but looks like the road's open now. But we took them up there and then stopped and got ice cream on the way back at a little place on 11, and then they're going down for a nap, and I'm running into work for a little bit.
The APRS got you.
Work for a little while.
Tomorrow?
I'll work my regular schedule this week, Tuesday through Friday.
Some of that big overtime money.
If they're going to give it out, I might as well take it. Yeah, I won't work late. I'll just work a few hours. I won't get off later than the 10 hours before I have to start in the morning.
I'm just curious if you were working tonight and not working tomorrow.
Evening, just three or four pickups that have to be done with a trailer. And I should be done probably by 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Leon, are you? And just pick up one pallet with maybe two boxes on it?
Because two of them are trailer swaps. They actually drop them at the customers, and they load into it all day, so they should be pretty good. I have shown up before when there's just been a couple of boxes. Usually I know ahead of time. If a customer is going to only do that, they'll call and we'll send a package car by, but it has happened.
Yeah, picture this morning. He's got one lonely pallet up there in front of the trailer, a 53-foot trailer.
Several trips, though, to Atlanta or to Greensboro and pulled it empty, so one of the directions. It happens occasionally. During Christmas especially, we'll have extra runs in to make sure they can cover all the work, and somebody will take an empty from here and to get up there, and they don't have anything, so he'll pull an empty back down.
Hey, Skicks, I'm sure it happens. He just want to try to keep that to a minimum. I'm sure I give him a hard time because he's been doing a lot of it lately.
I want to see that, though, because that means business might be dropping down. One day, I might have told you this, but one Christmas time, my boss called me on a Sunday afternoon. And he said, "You want to work tonight? They got some extra work up in Greensboro. Just grab an empty, go up there and grab a load and come back down." So they gave me a 53-foot trailer coming out of Chicago. I checked the paperwork, and of course it was sealed. It said it was coming to Greenville. Brought it back, and they opened it up Monday morning, and it was supposed to go to somewhere in New England, and they put the wrong label on it. So somebody else had to pull it back up there the next day.
Yeah. Union worker done made a mistake. He probably got rode up.
But it wasn't my fault. It was the trailer they assigned me, and the paperwork matched up. So I got paid. I got paid double time for that, working on a Sunday.
Yeah, I, union stuff, I know how that goes. And they're always looking for an scapegoat to blame for something.
See, it's the supervisors that seal the trailers and write out the paperwork. So it would have been one of their faults. And I wasn't too gracious. Like, you know, I didn't, since it was a mistake, I didn't tell them, yeah, just don't pay me. I'll do it for free since somebody messed up.
Mistake, so you should get paid.
That if grabbed the wrong trailer, it'd be off by one number, or the numbers were switched, and, you know, the last two numbers were inversed, and they just saw it and thought it was theirs, and pulled it up, and then find out when they get back that they pulled the wrong trailer. But I have not done that yet. I'm not going to say I'll never do it, but I always try to be careful, and I haven't done it yet.
That would not be a good thing. Lots of people wait for those packages.
Them for a day or two, something like that. They try to get it processed or try to get it moved back as quick as possible. So, but it can happen. They sent me a trailer one time down in Atlanta. I couldn't find it, and I kept calling them, and they kept saying, "No, it's here. We know it's here." And finally, they pulled it up on the GPS and said, "That's on its way to Tennessee." And it was going. It wasn't supposed to go to Tennessee, but somebody grabbed the wrong one.
Like I said, humans are involved, so there will be mistakes made.
Where are you now? Getting a little scratchy.
At Reedy River Baptist Church, getting ready to get on 25 or 276.
Where that is. You're going up to the Asheville Airport, you said?
Travel address. The junction right here. Travel address.
Sorry, I'm not sure where Reedy River Baptist Church is. Actually, I think I do know now that you said that, where you are. It's right there before you get into travel address, right? Where you are now. Coming around behind the firm in there. Kind of losing a little bit.
It must be on your end, because I'm reading the repeater full scale from here. Boy, on that one. So, you can try again.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. A little busy. Still trying to help out.
Listening to the 145.19 on the way home Friday night. One of the guys, he's stationed at the airport, or based at the airport with a ham radio, and I don't know which airport, but he said they had a plane come in that was, they didn't recognize, didn't have any markings on it. Turned out it was from Jordan. The King of Jordan had sent a heavy lift, short runway aircraft with full of supplies and sent it there to help out as much as possible.
And that's probably the Avery County Airport. That's where the base of operation is up there right now.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool, though. And, you know, the King of Jordan, his dad was a ham radio operator. I don't know if he is, but my father-in-law actually communicated with him back in the 80s. And he was kind of excited about that.
That'd be pretty cool. Not many people can say they've spoken to royalty on ham radio.
It's well known. Apparently, he was pretty active. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know whatever happened. He had a bunch of QSL cards. It would have been interesting. I don't know whatever happened to them, but they're long gone now.
Fortunately, probably one of the kids tossed them out and didn't realize what they were.
I may have gone through a bunch of stuff after he passed away and just gotten rid of it. A lot of paperwork and things. And I didn't even think about trying to find them or trying to hang on to them at the time. This was early on. I had my license, but I wasn't really active, and just there was a lot going on back then. Kids were young and didn't really pay attention to it.
Active as you are nowadays?
Maybe not. I had a radio in my personal truck. and that was it. And I would, a 2 meter radio, and I wouldn't talk much unless the net was on when I was headed home from work. But generally, I just listened.
I'm the only one that does that. I know there's lots of new call signs come out of the woodworks over the last couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah, I heard a lot of those. A lot of them I didn't recognize, and I know there's a lot of people that never get on the repeaters. Some of them are only HF, some of them are only simplex, so there's a lot more operators out than what we hear on the radio, on the repeater.
There was a lot of them. Some of them are still hanging around. I talked to some of them on the net last night. Shane and Patrick here.
Go ahead. This is N4ZLK. My name is Shane. Shane Patrick?
Can't remember all the call, but it was YHY was the last of it. Maybe they can try again.
Volume down, or mic be out of range of the repeater. Anyway, I thought it was KF4YHY. Oh, well, if you're in there, we'll try to leave a break for you.
I just chat today here, not doing anything at all.
Are you just sitting at home, or are you out mobile? Is that what you heard?
Out of range of the repeater, kind of. Everything's breaking up. I'm just like every other word.
Well, keep trying. I'll be around for a little bit. I don't know how long Shane's lying around.
Peter, okay, but sometimes you make it better than you can hear, so we'll be here. N4ZLK.
4HX. Get anything done this morning, this weekend?
Been done, just a little work around the yard, and restocked on the fuel for the generator, got the oil changed, and kind of got some things put back together at the house. And then we watched, Ada came over Saturday afternoon. We watched her for a while, took her back, and spent a little time with Seth and Nadine, anyway, but yeah, I got a little bit done. Not as much as I probably needed to, but also got a little bit of rest.
That's the same here. Worked on my antenna Saturday, so didn't go up to anchor a whole lot. I went up there a couple times checking on different things last week too, and then Sunday afternoon I went up there and worked for 5-6 hours. Probably not gonna make it today, though.
Into that traffic up there in near the airport, it might take you all afternoon.
My way around the traffic, but as long as the roads are open, we shall see.
I've seen some posts on different social media platforms, and some people I know down in Georgia. There's a couple of churches down there that sent some stuff up to North Carolina. And then a guy that I went to high school with, he was a pastor. He passed away a couple of years ago, but his wife and a group from another church in Alabama, I think they're still in Alabama, they were getting a load together, and they were working on a second load of stuff to send up to North Carolina. So I know stuff's coming from all over.
Obvious with the amount of supplies that have come into the area, because everywhere is just full with water and food and that kind of stuff. What we're needing now is heaters, propane, kerosene heaters, and kerosene, and just stuff to stay warm during the cold weather.
Is the church where up there in Anchor, are they able to get stuff? You know, I'm thinking interior, that's probably not the right word, but are they just working around their area where they are, or are they getting stuff further in where there's a lot more people cut off or things like that.
The further in, up around Black Mountain, Swannanoa area on one side, and up on the other side, the west side of Buncombe County, they're doing up in Leicester and over in that area. So. But all those places are full right now, so they've stopped receiving any product until they can get some of it out of the way, because they just don't have room for it. Well, that backlogged anchor does the same thing. Now there's stuff everywhere. I think they said it had 10 or 11 trucks coming in this week.
Better problem than not having enough stuff come in. Would you say that the Black Mountain, Swannanoa area, is that the kind of centralized to the damage? And then it gets better as you go east and west, or am I not thinking correctly?
Correctly. You get into Swannanoa, Black Mountain, Old Fort, Pensacola, North Carolina, Burnsville, Bakersville, up in that area there, Yancey, Mitchell, Avery County, that's where the hardest hit.
I've heard names of towns which I never knew existed, like Pensacola and Fairview, little communities, I guess. You know, I've heard of Black Mountain and Swannanoa, but I've looked up other places on the map that I'd never heard before.
Feel bad. Some of those little small ones I hadn't heard of before. I had to look them up myself.
The radar weather app, mostly about the radar, but you can have things show up like earthquakes and wildfires and things like that. And I have it set for earthquakes. And apparently there was several earthquakes down towards Greenwood, but they listed it, the name of the little town or community. I'd never, South Carolina, I'd never heard of it, but it was right near Lake Greenwood. They had several earthquakes over this weekend.
They had two earthquakes down here this weekend, one Friday and one yesterday morning, and around a 2.0, 2.1 magnitude.
I didn't feel anything where we are, but it depends on how deep and I guess what it's all connected to. I have felt one tremor when I was in Simpsonville. I was sitting there, it was kind of late at night, sitting downstairs in the recliner, and all of a sudden there was just kind of a strange buzzing noise, and you know, just kind of felt unsettled for a second. And I can't remember where it was, but it wasn't in Simpsonville, but somewhere down below us.
Of course, there are quite a few earthquakes down here in the last year.
How accurate this is, but I heard that solar weather can affect the earthquake. I don't want to say cycle, but like the more severe the solar storms are, the more chances of there being earthquakes. And I know there's been a lot of solar activity lately.
Well, I mean, you start messing with the electromagnetic field around the Earth and the North and South Poles, that kind of stuff, you're going to start messing with all that. So, I guess that anything's possible.
Get some pictures the other night. Showed up in the sky, the aurora, in some real bright red, pinkish red colors, and I could barely make out a pinkish haze with the naked eye when I was standing out there for a while. When I first went out, I couldn't see anything, but the camera picked it up.
For HK, it's funny how that happens, isn't it?
I would have loved to have seen it with the naked eye, but I'll take what I can get. And then there's a comet that we're supposed to be able to see here in the next few days in the western sky, not long after sunset. So I'll be looking for that. If we can keep having these nice, clear days, should get a good view of it.
04YHY, we're supposed to have two moons up until sometime in the middle of November.
Have two moons? Where's the other moon coming from?
Meteor satellite or something that's just going to orbit the Earth for about a month and then head off to wherever.
Interesting. I haven't heard of that.
Me too. It was about 2, 3, 4 weeks ago.
Head up and do some research. That'd be interesting.
I'm going to stay there for a while. It's why I'm at home now, so I'll sign it off. Catch you guys later. 7-3.
Hear you today. KO4HK.
WTJKT Mobile. For YHY, I think that's right. 7-3 to you. And W2JKT, Eric. Good afternoon. How are you? N4ZLK.
How you guys doing today?
Yeah, I got to run up here to the Asheville Airport, FedEx, and pick up a cart. But other than that, we're doing great.
Greenville to UPS. So I'll be there for a few hours. I don't have to work long tonight. But I'm doing fine, too, enjoying this beautiful weather. Hope you're well.
I'm gassy right now on my way home from work. I hope you're not heading into Greenville down 85 South.
Away from there.
That lot since about exit 48.
Let's call the extra detour traffic from 40 being washed out and 26 being washed out up there. I think 85 has gotten a lot busier because it's been backed up every day, all day for the last couple of weeks.
Go ahead and jump out. Eric, good to hear you. And you have a safe trip home. And Shane, good to hear you, Stephanie. I'm getting up here close to the state line. It's already starting to get real scratchy. So you gentlemen have a good evening. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
Stephanie, we'll talk to the morning. W2JKG.
Nice to hear you. See, have a good evening. N4ZLK.
85 South has been pretty much stopped or very slow ever since, I'm up at exit 85 coming up on it, milepost 85, so we're talking about...
Imagine, I was looking at the map around Greenville on Apple Maps last week, and except for the size and the number of roads, it's starting to look like Atlanta when you pull them up during the daytime and how much reds and yellows are on the map.
Either. It's getting really bad, so, I've got this commute. Luckily, I'm going opposite in both the morning and the evening, and I'm headed in, so early that it's not gotten bad yet, but man, it doesn't take much for this whole thing to break down.
It is just extra traffic coming off the entrance ramps, and they pile in, and traffic starts slowing down, and it just starts backing up, and you end up sitting in traffic, and you get to the head of it where it starts picking up again and there's nothing there. You'd think there'd be an accident or lanes blocked or something, but it's just so much traffic is trying to get funneled into a smaller area.
I get a little accident, especially up here in the construction zone, and it's just, an hour of, creepy crawly. But yeah, southbound, it is just a parking lot, like for 40 plus miles today. It's just crazy.
If it's that bad on Monday, it's going to be worse the rest of the week. But I just remember today's a holiday, I believe, so maybe that's part of it, people traveling for a long weekend.
I got to go in the office tomorrow and Thursday, so I'm hoping, I've been taking my work at home days on Wednesday and Friday, and I think Friday is a good move because Friday traffic is always really bad.
I go in, I leave the house about 6:30 and come down 25 to 85. And Tuesday of last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, it wasn't bad, but boy, Thursday and Friday were just awful.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to jump off here too. I'm getting up here into the 90s where I start to lose the repeater. So I'll be on the morning if you are. So if not, I'll catch you another time. But 73 Chance, good talking to you today. We'll catch you later. W2JKT.
Nice to hear you this afternoon. I hope you have a safe trip the rest of the way home. Maybe we'll hear you in the morning. W2JKT, N4ZLK.
Hey, what are you two sneaky guys? I just got this thing, a gut thing. Called it in and paid for our meal over here, Shane.
Are you telling me you guys already ate and you're done already? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, and it was free. I told Cyril is the manager there right now, and Charlie's coming in. We know them all by heart. And I ain't that, isn't that nice a guy? Somebody pay for my meal. Whoa, there was gravel there. So it wasn't you, it had to be Patrick. I just about been on. They wouldn't tell me.
Thanks to somebody. I hope you enjoyed that. A free meal like that, that should be really enjoyable.
She did that for my good looks. Or Bernice's good looks. Yes, we did. And many thanks to whoever did it. You know, I only had that happen one other time. And the kids sent us to Hawaii for our 40th anniversary. And a guy there, and this was a beautiful restaurant, and it was one we couldn't hardly afford, put it that way. And the kids paid for everything, so I had enough money to pay for that nice meal. Big aquarium around you. And when we got done eating, they said it was paid for. And I just was shocked because it was like $80-some dollars, wasn't it, Bernice? And we never had that expensive a meal in our life, Shane. So anyways, I've been talking to this helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he was in the dust-offs. And I asked him how many wounded that in KIAs he'd taken out, and it was enormous. And when we got ready to leave, the waiter said, your meal's taken care of, Tom. And I said, well, who in the world would do that? And he says, well, that gentleman that was sitting over at the counter over there earlier. And anyways, I went over and I found him and I thanked him. And he says, you know why I did that? And he pointed at my nose. And I said, no, sir. And he says, because I can. And later on, we found out that he owned the helicopter company that flew people all over Hawaii and over the volcanoes and all. But he was an Army guy.
Sorry.
Well, I've done that a few times with police officers and different ones and down at Fort Jackson one time. And also, there was a couple that looked pretty poor and had children. It was in the Little Rebel. And I paid for theirs, and they never did know who paid for theirs. So you kind of pass it on occasionally, Shane.
It's a lot of fun to do, especially when it's a surprise. And I don't know, it's good to do that. It's good to be generous. My brother-in-law, my wife's sister and her husband, they were in Hawaii one time for their 25th or 30th anniversary. I'm not sure which, but he's a real nice guy. Talks to anybody and everybody. He can make friends with anybody. And he also does a lot of research when they travel. They don't travel a lot, but they had wanted to go to Hawaii for years. Researched all the places to go and see, and there was this one restaurant that they were hoping to get into, but they heard it was kind of hard to. So he was talking to the lady at the concierge at the hotel they were staying in, and he mentioned that restaurant. She says, you'll never be able to get in there. They're booked solid. And she said, but let me see what I can do. She called their room and said that they had a time, you know, 5 o'clock or whatever, make sure they were there. He said, they got over there, and he said, I think they thought, they heard we were from Philadelphia area, and I think they thought we were the mob boss or something, because they escorted us into this really beautiful view, the table they sat at, treated us like royalty, and then didn't charge us for our meal. And the whole time kept checking on us. The manager came over and talked to us, and just treated us like we were royalty or mob bosses. He said, I never could figure out which one.
That's wonderful. It does make you feel special. We sure couldn't afford to go over there, I'll tell you for sure. But the kids did that to surprise us, and it did. And it's a beautiful place, but it's really getting overpacked anymore, they say. There was a study out last year said they didn't have enough infrastructure to support the tourism, that they're you know, their facilities like sewage and transportation and all that just wouldn't support it. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. But we had a nice time there and got to ride over the volcanoes and helicopter, and that was all paid for. But that Army guy, I'll never forget him as long as I live. That was really a nice thing to do. And It just made the trip for us, I'll say.
Yeah, I imagine, especially an Army guy doing that for a Navy guy.
Hey, crazy in the Army. I heard that someplace on the radio or something. No, God bless him, the many lives as he saved. But he was truly a nice guy. And I never forget him saying that and looking me right in the face. He said, "You know why I did that, Tom?" And I said, "No." He says, "Because I can." And that's just beautiful. I think the best time was when we went aboard the Missouri. And we missed our bus, and the kids had a tour. I never did tell them that. And we caught another bus out there. And there was no way we was going to get in. We was going to catch the bus, and they wouldn't let us back on. If you miss it at first, you don't get back on. It was all prepaid. But this lady at the counter there, she seen my hat. She said, "You a Vietnam vet?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Can we just buy our way on there and pay for the tour?" She says, "Yeah, but she says, this is how much it is for the regular tour." But she says, "You're special, and I'm going to take you myself." And she, oh man, you talk about knowledgeable. And she got us all the way through, and I got to operate the CW key on the Missouri and see all that old Collins equipment, I think it was. But the CW key wasn't really transmitting. It had a co-practice oscillator on it, but it was right there at the console in the radio room.
A special treat for her to do that for you. It's always nice when somebody who knows the history and knows what they're talking about can give you a tour instead of somebody who's just doing it because it's a job.
She was really, really intelligent. There was a couple of things she was wrong on, but I surely didn't tell her. But, oh, there were things she knew I'd never dreamed of. But, they, you know, that board, they, I forget what they call it now, that they write on and they write a mirror image on the back of it. All the war plans for Iraq, I believe it was Iraq, was still on that board. They didn't erase them off, and it was actual plans for the invasion over there, the bombardment of the beach, I guess you'd say.
Pretty cool. I guess that they retired that ship not too long ago then, I mean, relatively speaking.
And there was one in the Gulf of Tonkin when I was there. I think it was the New Jersey or the Missouri, I'm not sure which. I talked to the Missouri when it was headed to Bremerton to dry dock before they took it to the museum. They had ham radio operators aboard it, and I got a card with the picture of it on it. On CW, I'm almost certain, and or maybe both. I got it in my book here. But the thing that impressed me most was those 16-inch guns. Those projectiles weigh over a ton. And then they put in three bags, those silk bags of black powder. And I got a picture of Bernice and I standing by them. And they're almost... almost as tall as the average male adult is. Just a projectile.
Imagine sitting there in that chair. I'm not sure exactly how those were functioning. We've been aboard the Yorktown a few times and the battleship in North Carolina. I think that's what it is up there in Wilmington. And this may be a little different, but those old metal chairs where the guys that controlled, you know, the swivel, and I just imagine sitting there and firing those projectiles and how hot and loud that must have been.
Rifles, but 16 inches in diameter, just roughly they could go 26 miles, and they could put different fuses on them, proximity fuses that blow them up right above the ground or whatever they programmed them at, I guess. And the computers, I think, were still on one of those two, all analog, so they were gear-driven like a watch. And it was amazing. I worked on a machine called, it was called a Hillier, H-I-L-L-Y-E-R, and it was three-axis, it was CNC, and computer numerical controlled. And the guy that designed the radar-guided five-inch guns, like, well, I think the Yorktown should have them. The Bennington that I was on was the exact same carrier, only newer. That's CVS-10, or they call it CV-8-10 during World War II. But we were CVA-20 or CVS-20 later on, which is anti-submarine. And there was 5-inch guns in the gun tub back there. And they were radar-guided. And the guy that designed this Hillier machine that I worked on, he's the one that perfected those radar-guided guns on the ships. And I'll never forget, there was panels full of those four-pole, single-pole, or four-pole, single-throw ice cube relays, and you could swing them indoors, and there were 729 of them, Shane, and they counted in pure binary.
Nothing to see, Tom. And again, we appreciate your service. Appreciate everybody who served like that. Especially that guy that was helicopter pilot you were talking about, bringing in all those people, bringing them back home. But anyway, I'm pulling into the office here. I'm working for a few hours. Enjoyed it this afternoon. Hey, what the repeater? Must be a lot of solar stuff going on because I've been able to copy it, but it's been rough. So not like a normal clarity that it is. You and Bernice have a good day. Glad I got to chat with you a little bit. N0TR, N4ZLK, 73.
Okay, Jane, yeah, it's pretty scratchy here now, too. Probably since it warmed up a little and the wind's starting to blow a little bit. Great talking to you this afternoon. N4ZLK and 0TR, 73.